Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fulton Lewis, Jr., speaking from the studios of WGN in Chicago. Or to be more accurate, this is what is left of Fulton Lewis, Jr. after that long and wild and woolly session of election returns last night. But it's all over now, and inasmuch as the verdict has been delivered, let's hope that we'll all be able to ease down on the nervous tension regardless of what side we're on and forget the bitterness on both sides. Because, after all, there's a lot of work to be done, and it has to be done by all sides alike. One thing is certain, regardless of which side you may have been on in your sympathies, you saw American history in the making last night, a precedent of 150 years broken, and a precedent that was supposed to be unbreakable. But today, it's just a tradition of earlier American history, something to read about in the school books, the tradition against a third term. There have been enthusiastic writers and speakers today on the president's side who have talked about a landslide for the president last night. But even after the battle is over, there seems to be no very good reason for being unfair or for allowing imagination to run away with judgment. And very frankly, that talk about a landslide is only half borne out by the fact that you look them over and appraise the figures honestly as they stand this evening. It is true that the president carried 39 of the 48 states, and it is true that his electoral vote was 468 against 63 for Mr. Wilkie. And insofar as those figures go, that certainly is a landslide. But it's also true that Mr. Wilkie piled up the largest popular vote ever cast for a Republican candidate for the presidency in all of the history of the country. Well over 20 million votes. And while the figures still are not complete, even at that point, the president's final majority in the popular vote apparently will be less than 4.5 million votes altogether, which is a vastly different picture than the popular majority of 11 million, which the president had over former Governor Alf Landon of Kansas in the 1936 election. That might not mean so much the other way around in the case of a Democrat. To lose by only about 4.5 million votes and approximately 50 million all told, because the overwhelming majorities that are always polled by Democratic candidates in the southern states tend, naturally, to swell the Democratic total in every election. By that very token, it always puts the Republican candidate at something of a handicap in the popular vote. The Republican candidate is not expected, as a general rule, to poll as heavy a popular vote as the Democrat is, and for that reason, the lead of the president being only 4.5 million on this occasion becomes the more significant. But even more significant is another fact that certainly should not be overlooked. And that is the very precarious margin by which the president was able to carry some of the most important electoral states of the country in these final victorious totals today. In New York, for example, the latest returns we have, and these represent all but a very small handful of precincts, the figures that we have show that the president's margin by which he won those all-important 47 electoral votes from New York State was just 0.17%. The president got 50 0.17% of the total vote in New York State. Mr. Wilkie got 49 0.83%. And that is hardly what you'd call a landslide in any language. The same thing is true in the figures from Ohio. In that case, the president got 50 0.18% of the combined vote. Mr. Wilkie got 49 0.82%. And once again, that's what you hardly would call a landslide. And incidentally, in the case of Ohio, the returns are still coming in, and they're coming. The outstanding districts are now districts that are normally Republican. So the president's percentage in the final analysis may be cut to an even smaller margin than that. Ohio has 26 electoral votes. And let's take a look at Illinois. There were more than 4 million votes cast here in this state, and out of that total, the president has a lead of just about 100,000. And if you figure it out, it comes to 51 1/10% for the president, which still is pretty close. And for still another one, Michigan, with 19 electoral votes. The last figures we have on Michigan gives the president a lead there of 50 1/10% against 49.9% for Mr. Wilkie. Now, if you add up the electoral votes, just for those four states alone, you'll find that they amount to 121 electoral votes, and if you'll add that to the 63, which are finally and definitely in Mr. Wilkie's column, the total is 184, and that certainly doesn't sound like a landslide. Of course, all of that is not much consolation to the Republicans today, because losing a state by one single vote out of 10 million loses the electoral vote for that state just as surely as though it were lost by 20%. But at least it does show that Mr. Wilkie gave the president a much closer battle at the polls yesterday than the final score of electoral totals would seem to indicate this morning. But all of that is out of the way now. President Franklin D. Roosevelt is president of the United States for still another 4 years, beginning in January. The big chair behind the desk there on the rostrum of the United States Senate, which has been graced by Vice President John Nance Garner for the past 8 years, will be occupied from now on by a younger, a more slender figure with brown bushy eyebrows instead of white ones, Mr. Henry Wallace, the vice president-elect. Just how effective Mr. Wallace will be as a Democratic leader in the Senate remains to be seen. And that, of course, is one of the chief jobs of a vice president in the final analysis. He certainly will have the president's ear, Mr. Wallace will, and he certainly will understand the president's point of view far more so than Vice President Garner has at frequent times in the past. At the present time, he certainly, however, is far less popular with the average Democratic member of the Senate than Mr. Garner is, and Mr. Wallace unquestionably has less influence with the members than Mr. Garner. But he may be able to build up that confidence and that influence among the Democratic senators as time goes on. Now, to look over these totals in the final showdown of the picture as it results from last night, we might take a last tabulation here, starting once again as we did last evening from up there in the northeastern corner, to finally correct your map and get it in shape. As the totals now show, and they're almost all in, the president has taken everything in the country except 9 states. Starting up there in the northeastern corner, he took Maine with 5 electoral votes. He took Vermont with 3. He took, this is Mr. Wilkie, took Maine with 5, Vermont with 3, his home state of Indiana with 14 electoral votes, the state of Iowa, which is the vice presidential candidate's, the vice president-elect's home state, Mr. Wallace's home state, with 11 electoral votes, and then he took the solid plain states, North Dakota with 4, South Dakota with 4, Nebraska with 7, and Kansas with 9. Also, the adjoining state of Colorado. Now, if you'll block that out on your map, you'll find that it amounts to two little spots up in the northeastern corner, Maine and Vermont, one about the middle of the country, Indiana, and then a solid a splurge splash of black in the middle of the country, Iowa, and those 4, the tier of 4 plain states, and Colorado on the other side. As for the congressional senatorial elections, Mr. Wallace, as he sits there in the vice president's chair in the Senate, will see a slightly different Senate from the one Vice President Garner has been presiding over for the last 8 years, 7.5 years. At the present time, there are 24 members, Republicans, in the United States Senate, the remainder of them being Democrats, except for an independent and a progressive. This time, in these elections last night, the final returns today show that the Republicans, on this occasion, have picked up 5 Senate seats that heretofore belong to Democrats, and however, they have lost one seat to the Democrats that formerly was Republican. The one that they have lost is in Delaware, where Senator John Townsend of that state, a longtime member of the Senate, apparently is definitely defeated for re-election. He will be replaced by a Democrat. The other 5 states in which the Republicans have taken seats away from the Democrats are these. In Illinois, first of all, Mr. Wayland Brooks has defeated Senator Slattery, the present Democratic incumbent from Illinois, by a very, very narrow margin. The latest returns in these have only 20 of nearly 4,000 precincts outstanding. Out of a total of 4,000 precincts in the state of Illinois, only 20 precincts are outstanding, and out of a total of 4 million votes cast, Mr. Brooks, the Republican aspirant, has a lead over Senator Slattery of 14,000, and that is all. Senator Burton, or Mr. Burton, Mayor Burton of Cleveland, has won the Senate seat in Ohio, taking the seat that formerly was occupied by the Democrat, Senator Vic Donahue of that state, who retired and did not run for re-election. In the state of Nebraska, a Republican has taken the seat that formerly was held by Senator Ed Burke of that state. Senator Burke was defeated in the primaries, running for renomination on the Democratic ticket for the Senate. He was defeated in those primaries, and his victor, the individual who defeated him for the Democratic nomination, came up against Mr. Butler of Nebraska, on this occasion the Republican, and was defeated in these final returns. The fifth one of the Democrats to be replaced by a Republican in the new Senate is Senator Sherman Minton of Indiana, the Democratic whip of the Senate, who has apparently been defeated there by the Republican aspirant from Indiana. One other individual who will sit in the Republican seat in the Senate this time is Senator Shipstead of Minnesota, who formerly has been rated as a former laborite. He, however, ran on the Republican ticket in Minnesota this time and was elected. Now, so far as the House of Representatives go, the Republicans have been claiming all along, you know, that they would pick up at least 60 seats in the House of Representatives on this occasion and would win control of the House. On the contrary, the final returns show that instead of picking up a gain of 60 seats, they apparently have lost a net of about a dozen, although there are several score of House contests still to be heard from. But that's the top of the news as it looks from here, ladies and gentlemen. Until tomorrow night from Washington, good evening.
You have been listening to Fulton Lewis, Jr., Mutual's nightly news reporter on the national scene, who comes to you each evening, Monday through Friday, at this same time. Tonight, Mr. Lewis spoke to you from the studios of WGN in Chicago. Guy Savage announcing for you. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.